Welcome to Overtures. Since this episode, my guest has passed her thesis, received her bachelor's, and is a back-to-back Big East champ with the Villanova softball team. This year, she'll officially be a master's student with Villanova Theater while using her extra year of eligibility as a D1 athlete. Congrats and go Cats! All links are in the show notes. Take your seats. We'll be starting shortly. Hi, welcome. For those of you who are joining for the second episode of the day, hello, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. For those who are watching in the future and are like, wait, what do you mean? We filmed two episodes today, this being the second one. So we just filmed episode 11 and now we're filming episode 10 because, you know, things are just getting topsy-turvy here on Overtures. But hi, hope everyone's doing well. So yes, welcome to episode 10, even though we already had episode 11. My guest today is a current senior student athlete at Villanova University pursuing a career as a writer, director, and content creator. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting this high-achieving gal on Zoom and later got to perform with her with one of the first things that I've gotten to do when the pandemic first shut us down. Let me start that over. It's been a long day, folks. I got to work with her on one of the first things that I had done since pandemic had shut Villanova down. I love this gal bunches and bunches, and I know you will too. This is Ryan Henry.
Hi, y'all.
Hi. I'm so glad to have you on here. Thanks for dealing with my tongue twister moments here on the show.
Of course, darling. I'm just happy to be here, and I'm happy to like talk to you because our long history together.
Oh my gosh. And we even have some entrance applause. Look at that. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
But yeah, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I am just getting readjusted to being back on campus, which is always fun and eventful. Yeah. But
when did the semester start?
First day of classes was Monday.
Gotcha.
So been here.
You're barely through the week.
Barely through the week. I feel like I've been here since birth. I haven't even started practices yet. It's just been getting back into a groove because back home I was sleeping in and playing with my dogs and that was it.
And right. And now you're back to Division I sports.
Yeah. And it's just, it kicks your butt for like the first couple of days and then you get right back in the groove of it.
Yeah. I can totally imagine that. To give context for people who are watching, how do we know each other? From good old Villanova. Go Cats.
Go Cats, baby.
But what a funny way for us to meet, though, because I was in the graduate program, and obviously you're an undergrad still, but that's okay. We accept it. It's fine. But we got to be in a directing class together over Zoom that met once a week for 3 hours, and it was just the two of us and our professor.
It was very bonding, very much bonding.
It really was. It truly was, considering that the class discussion was simply just you and I talking. Yeah. So yeah, that was a wild ride. But it was funny because I was like, wait, when did we actually meet in person? Like, I feel like it was like I was having a costume fitting like on the terrace and you were doing homework out there. And we kind of looked at each other. We're like, is that her? Like, I think we've only seen each other online thus far. But so funny.
It was like, oh, she has legs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know what you look like in your room, but I don't know what you look like in person, like, whatsoever. But it's okay, because then in the second semester, we actually got to work together on a show. We got to do Slap Happy, a COVID-era comedia, which was this devised mockumentary about competitive collegiate commedia dell'arte troops. And we got to be in the same troop, which was so much fun to work on.
I remember, because I don't think you were actually in my group in the beginning.
No, I was switched to it because I think like Angela couldn't do it anymore or something like that.
I remember I was geeking out. I'm like, yes, like finally. I was like, thank God.
We get to work together.
You know, that was so much fun. The pictures. Like, I like to look back on like the pictures and they crack me up every time.
Oh, no. I have better. I have a clip.
You have a clip? Oh, God. No.
Don't worry. You're right at the top. So hold on just a second. Oh, yeah. I am sharing it to the screen. Correct. Okay. Sometimes I forget.
So in this bit, we're both going to be falling. So I just want to make sure I teach you how to fall correctly so you don't hurt yourself.
Okay. I get it, but I see that we're cherishing these moments together, and I really want to appreciate with you. So, like, if one of us falls, you can't make eye contact.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We'll be cherishing it together, except there will be some falling.
In love.
On the floor, but close enough. See that
you can't, it's so good. It's such a, it was so fun. We came up with the most stupid bits and it was beautiful.
That, the falling in love bit was, I completely forgot about that.
It was so good. Cause what I loved about this whole process is that coming together and seeing the premiere of it was that suddenly everyone decided that their character was in love with my character and I had zero idea the whole time. But like that was so, that part was so fun. Because we specifically decided that your dude bro, Julia Wrong, was going to try and flirt with my character. And my character was totally oblivious. And it was so much fun. I can't get over how, like, truly, like, how much that was so healing to my creative soul after going through the brunt of the pandemic before vaccines.
Yeah. I was very... Like, that was my first ever, like, real production with Villanova ever. Right.
One to work on, because suddenly it's like, well, this isn't really theater now, it's film, but also, yeah.
It was so fulfilling, because working with Dr. Joyce and Hezzy at the same time, both,
yes.
Hezzy was my professor at the time.
Hezekiah Lewis, big shout out, man.
Love that man.
Icon.
And it's just, like, so fulfilling to, like, see these two, like, aspects of my education like meet, and mm-hmm. If I was to make like my college career like in that, I would have never written that out, because I would always have thought, no, they're two very intersecting points, and bada bing bada boom, cut to the spring, and that happened.
Yeah, it was wild, and it was such an amazing process. Like, I hate, like, it was so funny. I get really nervous when it comes to improvisation, but that process allowed me to realize that I don't like improvisation if I don't know who my character is.
Yeah.
But if I have my character, I'm totally ready to just like, okay, yeah, we're doing this thing.
Yeah.
And like, just do it. And that was a really cool thing to learn, but it was also just like so much fun.
Yeah.
Totally. But going back to like sort of the beginnings of things, how did you first get started in theater? Or maybe it was film first. I don't know. We haven't talked about this before.
Yeah. So I always knew that like I wanted to do something. I'm not good at like, I never saw myself in like a 9-to-5 ever. It just naturally never turned me on in any aspect. And I came to Villanova. No clue. I came in undeclared. I was like, I'm going to apply to the business school, because that's what people do at Villanova.
And you're like, I'm an athlete. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Like that's what people, that's what people expect.
Yeah.
And I was undeclared the first two semesters, and I knew I wanted to get a theater minor just because like it would make me happy. So I took my first semester, my second semester.
Did you do theater like previous to Villanova?
I did in high school. I wasn't really taking that seriously in high school with it, just because I was like getting recruited and they're like, oh, it's Ryan, she can lift the heavy things off stage, and I was like, that's fair. And that was just the role I played. Like I played Gay Wellington in one show, and that was like the drunk, and they literally like, oh, Ryan, fall on stage. I'm like, yes sir, you got it. But I did that, and I was like, it makes me happy. I love making people laugh. That was the main thing. But then I came to Villanova. I was like, I'll apply to the business school after my freshman year. So I was like, I wanted to take like an easy, like a lighter course load in the spring. So I was like, oh, I'll take acting and I'll take playwriting. That sounds fun. So I enrolled in these two courses, playwriting with Ed, who we ended up taking for directing, and James Imes for acting.
Ed Sobel, known for working as a dramaturg at Steppenwolf, like with like, Tracy Letts. And then we also had James Imes, who prolific playwright, co-artistic or full artistic director now of the Wilma.
I think.
I don't remember. No. I don't remember how it's changed, but he is an artistic director at the Wilma. Amazing guy, both really amazing people to work with.
Yeah. And I had no clue. I was like, who are these people? They're professors. Yeah. It's like, and I kid you not, those classes changed the trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
I was the only freshman in both of them. And I never had like a class ever like impact me greatly like those two have. And I was like, this is what I kind of want to do. Like, I want to make things. I want to enjoy. Like, I wanted to have a career where I felt fulfilled every day. And that provided me with that sense of fulfillment. And those days when I would have Tuesday, Thursdays, I called my theater days because I would have no other theater, no other classes except those two.
I love that.
And my serotonin would always skyrocket. And cut to 4 years later, I'm doing theater as a hopeful career. And I love it. It's awesome.
That's so exciting. I love that. Yeah. And sort of jumping off of that a little bit, and you probably already answered it a little bit, but was there any particular like overture or light bulb moment of like, oh, this is what I want to do with my life? Or was it just like getting your theater to like theater days? I already just said that and I can't remember what you phrased it as.
The overture, I feel like when I think about it, there was this moment in both classes that like I literally like play like a movie in my head if like all the time. For James's class, it was the monologue that we did for the midterm, and I was geeking out. I was petrified. I was so nervous. I was doing, it's my favorite monologue, and I forget.
Yeah, what monologue? What monologue?
I wish I still had it.
What play?
No, I remember the plot. I think my character's name was Stacy, and I was having an affair with my boss. And it was my favorite. And I got to do like my New York accent, and I loved it. And I was geeking out. I was like, oh my God, like I want to do well. Cause I start like, I look up to everyone in the theater and comm department at Villanova as a God. Like and especially with James, I was like, I need to impress this man so bad.
Making James laugh or smile is like instant serotonin.
Literally. And I remember I did the monologue and he just like stood there. And he's like, I have no notes. And I was like, oh shit. Okay, curse. Okay, curse.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Okay, cool. I was like, oh my God.
Honestly, I have not established that rule on this podcast. And I've also been like, oh, can I curse? I'm like, it's my own podcast. Why am I? No, you're fine. Yeah, you're fine.
Cool. And I remember I had a teammate was in my class and she just goes, wow. And I'm like, and I was like, this makes sense. Like this, this is what I meant to do. Like it was a comic monologue. I felt good. And then with Ed's class, it was actually the first day of class with Fair Ed. And I never met Ed in my life. And I think it was Ed's first year at Villanova too, was my freshman year. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for the professor to come into class. And it was in Vasey, when Vasey was the very old building. And
my heart.
Still a soft spot in my heart too as well.
I will always have a soft spot for that building. Villanova has a brand new gorgeous performing arts center. However, those of us the majority of us who went to Villanova spent most of their time in little old Vasey Hall. So
Vasey Hall. Yeah. And it was like one of those classrooms with no windows.
Weird building.
Really haunted. And he walks in. I remember he was wearing like a brown sweater or something and like had his satchel. Like he always has a satchel.
Yeah, that tracks. That tracks.
And I was like, who is this man? And he walks in, like throws a box of matches on the table. And I was like, what is going on? I'm like, is it am I in the right room? And he's like, you have to tell your entire life story before the match burns out. So you lit the match and like you had to tell your life story.
Ooh.
And I'm like, and it was like right after I got diagnosed with diabetes. I was a freshman. I literally thought like, everyone cares about every little thing. I was like, duh, 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 duh. And then I burnt my hand. Everyone burns their hand. So then Ed goes, he's the last one to go and he lights it. And he's like, some people call me Ed. Some people call me professor, but the most important people call me Dad, and blows out the match. And I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Ed is a special guy, but like, wow, that's a really interesting one.
I think I started crying. I was like, and then I was like, this maybe I was like, that fascination with like that feeling you get when people create that type of art or meaning is something that I want to fuel my life for as long as I'm here, and I want to invite that feeling for others. So that's why I started making art.
So here's the thing. You wear all the hats, literally. if you were to like list them in order, like people like order themselves, they're like, oh, I'm an actor, singer, dancer, blah, 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 blah. How do you think you would list them for yourself? Or do you just go with a broad thing? Like, I'm a content creator. Like, I'm a theater artist. Like, how do you sort those?
I love saying I'm a storyteller. Just in any medium.
It's so good, and I hate that it's a cliche, but it's also like, but that's what I am. Leave me alone. Yeah.
It's not even like the meaning behind the art of storytelling. Because I took a course with one of my mentors at school, Dr. Evan Scherz, and the first course I took with him was storytelling. And I was like, oh, it's basically going to be a theater course. I got this. No, it was like theory and talking about family and culture, race, gender, sexuality, all the intersectioning elements of what makes your story different. And I loved it. I'm now TAing the course, which is like,
oh,
awesome.
That's so exciting.
And I love the idea of making stories, because what I've learned through family and all this stuff is that every story is different, and by telling your story, you add to someone else's. So that's where I get the storyteller from.
I love that. And you've done acting, right? This is what I have written down for myself. You have done acting, writing, directing, and all of these for both theater and film. Yes. You've been vlogging, recording podcast episodes here and there. You've been doing bachelor's and master classes all while playing D1 softball. That's not a question. That's just like a blanket statement that I just think people need to know. That's wild. Yeah. How are you alive?
I love caffeine. I really, if you told me that I'd be doing this 4 years ago, I would ask you why.
You'd be like, why am I doing this to
like
myself?
Why would I do that? Like when I tell people, like I was talking to my sisters about it, because one of my sisters just started college, and she's just like taking like, you know, the gen eds and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, like this is what I'm taking this semester. And she's like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like you're willingly, I have very bad anxiety. She's like, you are willingly making it worse.
And like, you're like, yes.
Yes. And that answer is, there's no why. It's just yes. But even like, I think the reason that I started, like, especially like when it comes to like directing and taking the grad classes, I never really planned on getting like a master's in theater eventually. I was like, I just wanted to take more directing courses.
I need more classes. And I if there's masters, then sure. But I guess I'll take those.
I was like, it's just a label. It'll be fine. Like, and it was a domino effect from there. But yeah,
no, and what I love is that you're also always so game to try something new. Like you took musical theater like for the undergrads, and that was like you had never really danced before or like had to sing for a class like that. Like it was fun because I got to come in for your class and like teach some of the Oklahoma Dream Ballet, but like I remember you were like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do any of this. I just love Valerie Joyce. And I'm like, that's fair. But like,
I was like, the reason I took it, I think I was like, I just wanted to take a course with Valerie. Cause Dr. Joyce, who's the head of the theater department.
Yeah.
I always looked up to her. She's like one of those people. I was like, their knowledge is godlike.
Yeah, no, her academics are insane.
Yeah.
And anyone who's a theater person should look up her academic work because it's great. She's published all that good stuff. Anyway, continue.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
And I go up to her the first day of class, and obviously I'm walking in wearing stuff like this. People are not walking into a musical theater.
Yeah, all your softball gear. Like, I just came from practice.
Like, literally, like, no one, and I think I'm very much one of the few people that the theater department knows when they see this. They're like, oh, it's Ryan. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I go up to her. I'm like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have never sang before. I have never danced before. And if I have, it's like Elaine in Seinfeld where it's bad. And she's like, you'll be fine. I'm like, no, Valerie, this is not here to comfort. This is a warning. But that ended up being another class that changed my entire outlook. Cause then I realized, I was like, I kind of like singing. Like, I won't willingly do it, but if I have to, I will. And that class, I remember.
It'll play into your directing toolbox too later on.
Yeah. Actually, I just auditioned for Curtains. And they asked, like, oh, like, have you experience with dancing? I'm like, well, the only experience I have is Valerie's class. And like, so you've choreographed. I'm like, yeah.
And they're like, because they're like, because she's like, oh, yeah, even though if you've never had dance experience before, like, do 8 of 8, like, 8 counts of 8 of a specific time, like, in musical theater history. So, like, for me, I choreographed, like, 8 counts of 8 for the Oklahoma Dream Ballet. But, like, some people had to do Fosse, for example, and you just learn so much, even if you're not a dancer.
Like, I did Fosse.
Oh, yeah? Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh,
that's a specific one.
I do it at
which,
party.
Which one did you do?
I did one.
Oh, you mean, so, no, Michael Bennett.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe I said that.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine.
That, I did, I did Chorus Line. It was, and I've, oh my God, it was so scary. Cause at one point,
even he gets very, very specific. Lots of influences there.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
And I remember Valerie left the room at one point. I was like, oh my God, I failed the class. And she comes in with like plates and she's like, you need this. And we had to use the plates as like the hats.
Oh yeah. No, and I can definitely see that.
I was like, why? I was like, why is she leaving? Why is she leaving? It's like, what did I do wrong?
And also like she wasn't going to tell you what she was going to do. She just left because she's like, I'm doing, because that's what she does. She's like, she'll just leave. And you're like,
I was like,
and come back.
Like, no. I offended her.
Oh my God. But no, it's seriously just so admirable that you're willing to just go for it, because like I personally find that very difficult, especially if it's something new. Like I'm like, okay, I need to be like somewhat good at it before I start showing other people, but you're like, F it, let's go, you know? And like that's just something really admirable.
And
it's really awesome. I also see you as someone who really loves to generate and create work. I'm assuming you would say that's true based on our previous conversation thus far.
Yes.
Writing, vlogging, podcasting. It's a lot of generative work as opposed to like acting and directing, which is often like putting on work that's already been created on its feet, which is really, really cool. And with that, you didn't send this to me, but I was like, I have to play a clip from it. So I have a clip from Taking Note. If you want to give a little bit of a introduction, I'm just going to play the very beginning.
Yeah.
If you just want to introduce that a little bit.
So Taking Note is my second short film that I ever made. It's like a feature. I think it's like a feature length film. It's like 20 minutes or so. And it's loosely based on the life and works of William Shakespeare. But if William Shakespeare was a college writer in the modern day, and if the characters were normal people.
Yes. So, yeah. It's a great, great introduction for this. So I'm just going to play a hot little clip from the beginning of it. But yeah.
To captivate the audience is a strange art. One needs to be subtle in a way not to scare the weak-minded away and miss all of the good material they gathered during the day. But one also needs to be brave enough to expose the inner workings of the imagination. After what I've seen posted this evening, I can guess my roommate is skilled in the latter.
Thank you.
you never should be predictable. Stories tend to have these fellows within them.
And I'll pause it there so as to encourage others to go watch the rest of it. It's wonderful. It's lovely. I love your writing in it because I think you do a really good job of capturing that Shakespearean feel while also like making it relatable to this like teenage writer.
Yeah, that was like
early 20s.
Yeah, that was when I was writing it. I was like, I want to write some, like, I love writing about writers. I love watching shows about writers. and it was so much fun to write that because I was looking at like soliloquies and Shakespeare's work. And I was like, I want to do something, but not like do an adaptation. Because I was like, oh, I'll just do an adaptation of Midsummer Night's Dream. Like that was what I was instantly going to go for. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, let's do something different. And it was just so cool bringing that because I've made like short films, but like that.
Yeah,
because
like you wrote it, but also like, you correct me if I'm wrong, you got to direct that as well. Like you were able to fully produce it for your class. So like,
yeah,
that's also fun and wild. Like you not only wrote it, but like you got to see it come to life on screen in that way.
And it was so cool. Just like the entire process of it was, it was really just like very like childlike. I was like, this is like Christmas. Like I remember the day I was like the Monday, it was an off day from softball. I was like, I'm literally 6 a.m. to 6 o'clock at night. This is what's going to happen. Like, I had the whole day planned out. I remember I got up at, like, 4. I was like, I need to look professional. I got, like, my blazer on. I'm like, this is, like, because I've directed. That was before I directed my first, like, piece here at Villanova. And I was like, I really wanted to, like, make this really important and serious because it was, like, the first time directing my own work.
Right.
And it was just, I remember people like were walking by because we filmed a lot. The entire film is shot on Villanova's campus and people were walking by and people would know me and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, this is my film. Like, go watch it. Like and just the like hearing people like their reactions to it, good and bad. Like I was like so grateful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I have Instagram questions for later, but I figure since we're already talking about it, we might as well.
Yeah.
Get this question from, let's see here, from ChrisXC34. What was your purpose for writing the short film, Taking Note?
I wanted to push my comfort zone in the means of comedy, but this is more of my, it's not even serious, but it's serious-er, if that's a word.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's like, I don't even like not tragicomedy first per se, but like,
yeah,
it's comedic in a witty chuckle way. It's not like slapstick.
Yeah. I was heavily in, like when I was, when I met with the cinematographer, I was like, I really want a Wes Anderson type of like element to it. That kind of like, when you watch a Wes Anderson film, it's comedic, but in like an uncomfortable kind of way.
Yeah.
Like a storybook kind of fashion.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like what I was going for. Taking Note, just like a lot of like nerdy fulfillment in that as well, just because a lot of people, I love Shakespeare, Puck actually, who Chuck is named after. it's just like that kooky little character I wanted. And then Haseeb being, I remember I was like, I put it on my Instagram story. I'm like, I need someone to play this character. And then Haseeb was like, I will do it. I'm like, you don't even know the part, but, and he was in my,
musical, like, sure.
He was like, he's in my musical theater class. And he's like, I love it. And then Haseeb cut to 6 months later. He's one of my great friends. Like,
oh,
it's just like that. There was so much creative fulfillment and dreams that I had and having that being completed in my first feature short film was just breathtaking. Like we're so grateful Hezzy was a part of that. Caleb Lucky was the assistant director on that. And every time I see him, I just say thank you because that project is my one of my favorite I ever done in my life.
No, it's so awesome. And I highly encourage like people to watch the full thing. I will add a link to it in the description of this video when we have gone off live and all that good stuff. And I actually like update it and things like that. I will put a link to it because like it's a great watch. It's a nice short film. It's very enjoyable, great acting, great directing all around. So I know you haven't gotten to do a lot of it recently, but you do have a podcast.
I do.
Do tell about it.
It comes from the unmedicated ADHD I have. Talking in
Zigzags. Oh, I guess that does connect to another question.
Yeah.
From where did the name of your podcast, Talking in Zigzags, come from?
It comes from the – so my trainer, what I was talking to my trainer back home for softball, it was before I started Talking in Zigzags. I was like, I want to start a podcast. And he's like, well, you talk in zigzags. That's kind of hard. I'm like, oh, don't tempt me. So that's where Talking in Zigzag comes from, because if you know me, I do talk in zigzags often. I get very distracted. And if you can't tell, I'm always everywhere. And that's where it came from. It's literally a Brambo Jamble mess, and I love it. I haven't done a lot of it just because life has been very crazy and other things in life pop up. But yeah. I'm planning on getting back into it hopefully soon. And I've had amazing people. I've had sex counselors, political cartoonists. I've had – who else have I had? I'm trying to think. Oh, stand-up comedians, like anyone who's willing to talk to me.
Oh, I guess I should add that to like your list of like things you've done. You've also done stand-up comedy.
Yes. Yes. Oh, but yeah, it's the list is too long.
That's okay. But yeah, no, people should like go check out the back catalog for that. And that's on Spotify, Apple Music.
Anywhere you stream podcasts.
Beautiful. We love that. So you're a senior at Villanova. And of course, I'm going to be that person who asks the question that like no one ever wants to hear as a college senior, which is, what's next for you? do you know what you want to do? And the great thing is here on Overtures, any and all answers or lack thereof is acceptable.
Fantastic. So I'm very fortunate, being that I'm a student athlete. With COVID, they gave us an extra year of athletic eligibility, so I can stay enrolled in Villanova and pursue a degree. Pending, I have applied to the master's program at Villanova.
I mean, granted, you've already taken like 3 courses, but like, yes. Anyway.
But I hopefully, if all goes well, I will be staying here and fulfilling my degree. Hopefully doing a thesis in either directing or acting or something.
You're like, you know, just one of them.
Well, just something they will let me do. But then after that, up in the air, but hopefully we'll be returning to New York City and making art full time.
I love that. I realized I haven't even asked much about it yet, but softball. Tell us about it. What position do you play? How'd you get involved? All that good stuff.
So I got involved with softball because I was not good at any other sport. My dad played baseball up until college, and it wasn't really that big of a pressure to play a sport. Just like, I come from a very athletic town outside of New York City where like everyone plays a sport. Everyone does this. And naturally, I'm very unathletic. And I will be the first to admit it. I should not be a Division I athlete just based on my height, my knees, and a lot of other factors. But nonetheless, I am here and I'm very grateful every day. I love being an athlete. It's a major focal point of my identity. And I'm grateful, just like Villanova has both allowed me to excel as an athlete, artist, and an academic. I'm a catcher. I'm a catcher, designated hitter, depending on the game. Been playing since I would say like 4, like T-ball. But I credit my dad too. He's been my number one fan consistently. He's literally at every game. Sometimes I don't like that, especially if I'm in a slump, but we ignore that. But I love it. And my favorite part about being an athlete on the softball team at Villanova is that it's right by the theater department. So
easy walk. Yeah, no, because I remember like there was because like literally the softball field is right there. And so like if you're in the dance studio, for example, you can like see the game.
Yeah.
Or like things like that. And I remember you had a game or something and Valerie was like, oh, like I could hear them like cheer, like you must have been up to bat or something, because like I heard them cheering your name, and I was like, go Ryan.
I love like sometimes like in the fall of this year, like they would stick their head out and wave, and I was like, hey guys.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
It was it's very homey in that little corner of Villanova.
Yeah. You're like, I just get to stay in that part. She's like, you're like, I don't need to go to any other part of campus. Just
no, it's easy. And I live right by here too. So it's great.
You're like, look, the parking garage is right there. I have the theater building, and then the softball field is literally right there. Just that's all I need. That's
easy
all
money.
Need.
Easy money.
Oh my goodness. So if you were, so yeah. So if you are and slash when you start soon, and the master's program, you would also be playing softball, simultaneously.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
But like given your track record up into this point, I'm like, she'll do it.
That's what I was looking at. There were, like I mentioned, I think who was it? Maybe Kevin or someone in the program. And they're like, that's gonna be a lot. I'm like, I think it's gonna be less, honestly, because I won't be doing undergrad at the same time.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
It'll just be more interesting during rehearsals. When like rehearsals and things begin, but
yeah, but we'll get there.
Yeah. So we do have a few Instagram questions that we have not answered. So I'll go ahead and get to those. A good friend of mine, Liam Abate, a friend of mine and a friend of the podcast who is really great about sending in questions. Love him. He submitted this question. What was the hardest piece of dialogue you've had to write? Also, what was the most fun?
Ooh.
And honestly, these could probably both be from taking note, but.
They could. I'm trying to. Okay.
Could also be your one woman show, which we'll get to soon.
The hardest piece of dialogue I had to write was probably in my show that I'm doing in a couple weeks. Turn Me On, and it was. I'm actually like dealing with that right now. In Turn Me On, a lot of things start with T's. I write. I realized. In Turn Me On, there are three different parts of myself that I'm performing. I'm performing the athlete, the artist, and the familial part of myself. And I've had the very hard time writing as an athlete because I often distinguish the artist and the athlete as very completely different entities. Mm-hmm. And in a way, the athlete resents the artist. And it's, mm-hmm. I was like, when I was writing it, I was like, I literally was like, this is terrible. And then I'm like, this sounds like sports. It just sounds like sports. And I hated it. And then I was talking to Evan about it. And he's like, do you think the reason you struggle with it is because that's what's actually happening in your head? That battle of interest is like, oh yes. This is why I go to therapy. You're right, Evan. And so that's been fun to like hash out. I'm trying to think of the most fun. Oh, it's a tie. It is a tie. It would definitely be a scene in Taking Note between Rose and Rose and Billy, where they're talking about a party and Billy is like, I don't want to drink. And then Rose is like, I made like a Shakespeare line. It's like, oh, like suck your thumb, you prude. And I was like talking about like incorporating Shakespearean text into like bitchy college fighting was so much fun to write. And then one of my favorite things that is also in Turn Me On, it's edited a little bit because I know a lot of people coming, like a lot of my teammates are coming, so I edited it because I was like, they know what happened. So in my storytelling class, I did a my story performance, which is a theory of performance studies, about the first time I did stand-up comedy. And the first time I did stand-up comedy, I was viciously catcalled and just like dealt with a lot of stuff. So
that's
in this,
so frustrating.
It was very frustrating. So in a form of feminist comedy resentment, I twisted it where I was catcalling the men in the audience for this performance. So there was only one guy in my class, only one male. And
oh no.
I didn't, we cut to like a semester later, we're great friends. His name's EJ. EJ, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. Every time I see him out at the bar, I say sorry for doing this because this was completely improvised. But I had like in the script, it was like talking about like incorporating feminist queer theory and stand-up comedy. Like I wrote my set and that was just fun to do. But then at one point in the dialogue, my character just starts like bashing on the men, like just starts like catcalling the man. And a lot of my jokes in that set were about like my flat chest. So as a form of comedy, I took off my bra and threw it at him. And that got a laugh.
Oh my God.
And I don't even remember like what got into me. It was just like, you know, like that creative momentum you get into.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the, everyone's dying, everyone's laughing. And that part in turn me on is cut because I will not be doing that. I will not be throwing my bra again. But I remember just standing on stage after that was done. I was like, what did I just do? And that was really fun. but yeah, I would definitely say that like the stand-up comedy performance I've done. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Those are incredible stories. By oh my God. And I'm so excited to talk more about Turn Me On in just a second. This one's like a nice, like, I guess, philosophical like question. Back to Chris XC34. What do you want your plays and other creations of all things theater to do for your audience? It's a very broad, like, theater artist question, but yeah,
this is like the basic, I feel like this is kind of like the basic like artists want. Like I want the audience and the people in my audience to like feel something. And I want them to leave having that feeling with them and like being able to note it. Like with Turn Me On, I want them to feel this kind of like questioning the way we perform in daily life and the different roles we play. With Boo Babes, I want them to laugh. Boo Babes is like one of my other favorite short films. And when it is like when I directed Descent, I want them to feel that uncomfortableness that comes with the discrepancy between gender and power. And that's something I try to take note, and the meaning changes with the piece because
yeah,
I'm not as strictly, unlike most people usually think with when it's my art, like I'm not strictly comedy.
It's true. Yeah.
So, and I like to have that variety when it comes to my work.
Yeah. Cause you also have a very strong academic brain, like in terms of like working with theory and things like that. And I think that like, that's a perfect description of like what you do with your art. Like you're very much like, you're really good at finding the essence of the piece of art. And then you make it sing, if that makes sense.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's like really, it's really true though. And like that can be really hard to do. But it's such a good talent to have as a director. Because you're like, I need them to get it.
Yeah.
But if I don't know what it is, that can be very difficult. I remember like when we were working on for our directing project in our directing class, we were given As You Like It, and we're told to essentially like build a concept, build a proposal, and et cetera, et cetera. And we played around a lot with, and I'm forgetting every single character's name, not Rosalind, but Orlando. Oh my God. Why am I? Yeah, obviously. Making Orlando a trans man and how that affects every other character in the play and all the relationships with each other. And I think you brought in so much like academic relationships with it that really explained like the power balances and things like that. And that was really cool to get to work on together. And I think a great example just for others to just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you. And
yeah.
And that's something I've been trying to do more just because and like battle with that academic mindset because imposter syndrome is a real thing, especially
100%.
And I've dealt with that so much. I remember we were doing that. I was like, am I smart enough for this? I was like, I was like, this might be too much. You bit off more than you could chew, Ryan. Like,
no, I think, yeah, no, I think there's certainly things that we could have better answers to when we were like presenting it or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I think we really hit something, and I think it was really special to like be able to work on that. Yeah. But yeah, but turning it back to your upcoming project, Turn Me On. Is this for something that is like in your degree with a class, or yeah, explain that a little bit.
So I am a performance. So my degree in undergrad is a mass.
Getting there.
Maybe. I'm getting a bachelor's in communication, and I'm specializing in the field of performance studies. And an option that I had was either to do a group project research, and I was like, ew, or I could do my own show. And I just was like, that's what I want to do. Like that.
Yeah.
I would love to like actually, because like you always like think like, oh, like one woman show, like da da da. I was like, no, I want to make that a reality.
No, like that's also kind of terrifying, because like taking solo performance with Michael Hollinger was perhaps one of the most difficult, crazy things I've ever worked on. So like props to you for creating a full one woman show and like being excited, but continue.
Yeah. And I've been planning, I had like the idea for a while. I want to incorporate a lot. My story, my story theory is one of my favorites, and it's actually, one of my mentors, Dr. Evan Shares, who is co-directing, he is a graduate of the PhD program from LSU, where the theory originates, and it incorporates, it's a director's dream theory, which I feel like I've always incorporated when I direct now as well. The combination between the professional, which is like academic text or research, the popular, music, film, content creation, and the personal, which is you. And I've made this one-woman show talking about performativity in my life and family and being a female comic and a student athlete. And it is a love child. And it's crazy that it's in 2 weeks. And yeah.
No, that's really cool. And like, for those who I'm more familiar with performance studies because of like my education with Villanova, but like it's really interesting that like when people first hear performance studies, they're like, oh, like studies of performances. Well, I was like, well, no, not quite. But like the performativity of humans in everyday life and things yeah. like that. And so I think one, this is like a perfect example of that, but like it's gonna, I'm so excited because you have like, it's weird talking about, because I'm like, this is also just you as a human. It's not like you're just like, yeah. Oh wow, this is just like so like beautifully put together, but just like the opposing forces of like athleticism and theater are often at odds, but also like being a female and an athlete can also be at odds a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be so interesting and so exciting. Yeah. I'm so excited.
It's been just very amazing, like diving into, I've been reading a lot of feminist comic theory, and at one point in the show I play my grandmother, because it's very interesting how the world works, and I always say that. I have a performance that was for my sophomore year of college where it was me performing as my grandmother. All the text came right from her. It was like from a phone call I had with her. And it's just like, I do that for one scene, and it's actually the opening night is like the 1 year anniversary of her passing. And it's been very eye-opening, kind of like talking with the text and engaging in that conversation with my family and my grandparents, who I was very close with, as well as talking about mental health as a female student athlete, and talking about comedy and sexism and literally every performance-based aspect in my life. And I'm very excited.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. And there's going to be ways for people to see it. First of all, when is it? When does it run?
So it is a two-night showing, January 26th and 27th at 6 p.m. in the Gary Studio at Villanova. And there will be a way to stream it. I think probably Facebook is the way I'm going to probably do it. But that will be coming more in the week when I have a meeting with the tech guy.
No, that's totally understandable and fair. Yeah. Where can, I'm assuming people can keep in contact on that via like your Instagram and things like that.
Yes.
Amazing. And I think it's crazy that we're at like 5:53 right now and we're already getting to that point. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Talk for hours.
literally. What's your socials? Where can people find you?
You can find me Instagram, RyanHenry.com underscore. And then all my other social medias are RyanHenry.com. And yeah, you can find me there, TikTok, literally every social media except probably like MySpace, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have your website where you have like a lot of the selected videos I played. That one.
Yeah.
Is RyanHenry.com .wixsite.com/website. I feel that. That's a mood. That's a mood and a half. Truly.
One day we'll upgrade. Not,
you know,
one day
it's okay. No, that's okay. Mine existed for many years before I was like, fine, I'm going to do it. so no worries there. For my socials, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura_Marjoram. And you can find me at my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show. There's two S's. It looks weird, but I promise it's correct. And you're watching this video on YouTube. But yeah, give us a subscribe. Give us a like. You'll get reminders on upcoming streams and you'll see upcoming stream posts on Instagram as well as bios, things like that. Submit a question, say hello. We always love some audience engagement. Ryan, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
No, I'm just, thank you for having me. Absolutely. I love this show. It's so much fun.
No, thank you. Well, okay. I know we're like about to end quote unquote. However, I gotta say, your podcast existed for a long time and I just hadn't listened to it yet, but being like, wow, Ryan does a podcast. I could do that. And like, I remember during the summer, we like got to meet up and we had a conversation of like, I have this idea. I don't know what the hell I want it to be. And you were very open and listening to it. And so I appreciate it. And I think it's so fun that we get to this full circle moment where it's like, you're here, you're on the show. And all that good stuff.
The world works in wonderful ways.
It truly does. It's wild. But I'm so glad that I can share that full circle moment with you.
Me as well.
But yes. Do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
No, I hope to see y'all soon.
Yes. Go see. Go watch. Tune in. All that stuff to turn me on. Watch the rest of Taking Note. It's wonderful. It's a lovely little romp. But yeah. Everyone, I hope you have a great night. See you soon and keep tabs on the Instagram for upcoming streams. But yeah, bye.